All right, well, let's go ahead and get started. We're going to open up our Wednesday night study here in our very first time together in the Seeds of the Gospel study. And we're going to shift gears from your group time. Sounds like you had a wonderful time in there. And take some time just to pray together right now. So feel free to reach around your table and hold hands, and I'll open us in a time of prayer. Father God, thank you once again for our time together here tonight. Thank you for every circumstance of our life that has brought us together for this moment, not just physically in this room, but where we are each, spiritually, emotionally, everything that we have. And we thank you for that, because we know that it is your desire to do good in our life, and we bless and thank you and praise you for that. Lord, we ask now that our hearts and our minds would be still and focused and open to you and what you have to implant in our hearts as we begin this study. And we just lay it now all before you in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
Hallelujah.
Amen. Now, that's a little tradition we have here. If you're new to that, we end our prayers with an Alleluia, Amen. It's just something I did at my home church growing up, and it's been fun to bring that tradition here. So you have a page to take notes. If you'd like to take notes, you're welcome to do that. It's in your packet there, and you're welcome to jot things down as we go through tonight. My heart here tonight is to provide for you a rationale for this study and how it's laid out, but also to kind of set the expectation for what we're going to do together throughout this study. This is a 13-week study, and so this is going to take us from now, if we're here at the end of September, all the way through to the end of your life. No, you're going to be here till maybe April. We'll wrap up in April this year. But we're going to spend this entire time together in Acts. And how many of you were with us when we did the... This would be a great reminder, without anyone looking at Alex at all for any embarrassment. Thank you for that timely reminder, Alex, to silence your phone.
You're welcome.
Just a servant's heart over there. Thank you, Alex. So we'll be here in... there's 13 lessons in the study. So from now until the end of April, we'll be together in the book of Acts. How many of you were with us in Hebrews? We took the whole two sessions to do that. You remember that. So we'll do the same thing in our Acts study here together. And so I don't know if you're at all like me, but when I decide to get started in something new, I tend to just dive in. I get really excited. Maybe I even clear my schedule. I finally realize I can totally do this. And if I'm going to do this, I'll clear out this, and I'll make sure it happens, and I'll maybe even tell some friends and jump in and get started. And then 2 weeks or 3 weeks into it, life happens. Stuff happens. I get busy again. New things, legitimate things, good things, wonderful things. But it can take away. And then I have to make a new decision. Is what I'm starting on here really important, or should I shift and do something else? With this Bible study, I want us to start off with that mindset of, I'm here because the Lord called me into this room. Like, this is where God has you in this season of your life. And I want you to feel like you can, at the end of our 13-week study together, you will have this amen moment of, wow, I did a 13-week Bible study through the book of Acts. That's a big deal. A lot of people have never opened their Bible, period, let alone stayed in a significant study like we'll be doing together. So let's set our intention right now, because sometimes it's easy to fizzle out when we're doing things and run out of steam. So I want us to make sure we're starting not just with that emotional high enthusiasm, but with an intellectual mindset and a commitment to what we're called to do right now as women. And you've made those connections already in your groups, and I want us to be faithful to that. So we want to kind of fizzle-proof what we're doing here together, so we can stay and have that encouragement. There's so many other things that are going to call to your attention to work on in your life, in your job, in your family. And for whatever reason, whatever season you're in, God put you in this Bible study, in this room, with this group of women, I believe, for a reason. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't enter into it willy-nilly. I prayed. God, just bring exactly who needs to be here. Mm-hmm. For the Tuesday study, for the Wednesday. And guess what? That's you, turns out. You're here. So am I. So we'll be in here in this moment together. So if you want to take notes, like I said, we are going to begin to talk about where we're going in this study. This study is the Dwelling Richly Bible study that you can see here on the screen. And it's rooted in the Bible verse from Colossians 3:16. all of the studies that I write for you are rooted in this idea that we are to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. So this is the Dwelling Richly Bible study, no matter what book of the Bible we're covering, because that's what exactly we want to do. And as we move into the study, I want us to be thinking, what does that look like? What does it look like to let the word of Christ dwell in me richly? So I want you to picture yourself in your mind. You're in the end of September. October is going to come and go. November, December, January, February, March, and we're going to wrap up in April. And maybe we'll be in that exact same seats, because I know how possessive we get with our seats. This is where I am. This is my spot, right? How dare we move around? But I want you to picture yourself in April with this group of women and whoever else God brings into our fellowship. And where are you going to be there? You're going to be the same human, but what's going to be changing in your heart, in your mind? Where are you right now? Take that personal inventory and think. What was it that called you into this room? What brought you into this study? Maybe it was an intellectual need that you have. I need to know the word. I want to know it better. That's in your mind, right? Maybe it's an emotional need. I'm drowning in my life right now. It's been a year. It's been hard. I need that emotional support. Maybe that's where you're at. Maybe it's social. I just need to be with adult women. I need to talk grown-up talk with other women for a while. Whatever it is, I want you to think about that and think, picture yourself in April. Where are you going to be in April? If you keep doing what you're doing, what happens? You keep getting the same results. You keep getting what you're getting. So as we move forward in this study, I want you to be intentional about moving into that. And as we think about that and the expectations that we have, I want us to think kind of along the lines of taking a trip. If you were to pack up your car right now and go out for a road trip, you would get things in your car that you need for that trip, right? The right clothing for the location you're going on, maybe the people that you're going to go with, maybe the anticipation of who you're going to meet up with along the way. You make that plan. Every now and then, we just have one of those crazy throw a dart at the map and go there, one of those moments. Maybe you've had that kind of fun in your life. But we generally make some kind of a plan when we head out for those things. Let's do that with the Bible study. Let's not throw a dart off into the future of April and hope somehow, magically, we're going to land there and get, you know, do our study together and be. Let's be intentional about who we're going to be as we head toward April and finishing this book of Acts together. It's going to be quite an amazing journey. I'm very excited about it, if you can't already tell. All right. So as we approach God's word, what is our mindset? What are we thinking about? Well, God's word, the Bible, it's very important for us to remember that it's not about discovering ourselves. It's about discovering God. It's not about discovering ourselves. It's about discovering God. And that might seem kind of self-evident to you. Like, of course, the Bible's about God. However, I have found in my own life and in lives of women that I've spoken to, oftentimes we approach the Bible with the kind of what's in it for me mindset. What can I get out of that? Now, hear my heart when I say this next part. If we have that as our approach, and that's what we're doing when we're approaching God's word, then listen, we're treating God's word like an addict treats a drug. Now, how many of you know an addict? Okay? Maybe some of you have addictive tendencies in your own personality. And you reach for the thing, why, that you want in your life. What does it do for you? It makes you feel good. It satisfies you. It can satisfy you in any department of your life. You can think about all of them that addicts go for, right? So if we treat the Bible like what's in it for me, we are approaching the Bible like an addict, right? We're looking at the Bible as a source to fix us. Oh, I've got to get better. Now, hear my heart again. Does the Bible help you get better? Of course it does. But if you're going to the Bible like you're trying to get a hit, you're missing the point. So the Bible is not about discovering ourselves first. It's about discovering who? God. Or if we go in it for God, it's not what's in it for me. It's what can I see about God. It's not what's in it for me. It's what can I see about God. And then that loops it back around and reveals me. And helps me know me better. So, first, we ask, what can this teach me about God? You're going to see you. You're going to find you. I promise. That is this beautiful side effect. We've all watched the commercials on TV for take a pharmaceutical drug, and what do they spend the vast majority of time? The foggy lit beach scene and a couple swooning together, and the whole guy over the whole time is reading about how, you know, he might lose body parts and bleed out of your ear and all these things if you take this drug. But don't worry, you won't be sneezing. Okay. So those are like maybe not so good side effects. The Bible has these wonderful side benefits. You go in there looking for God, and it turns out you find yourself. The true self. Now here's the catch on that. Now listen. Here's the catch. That's not always a good thing to find the true self. Turns out. Okay, we're kind of ugly. Bible calls you dirty, rotten scoundrels. Me too. Mm-hmm. In other words, I'm not sure how it says it in Hebrew and Greek, but that's basically what it says. Your heart is deceitful and wicked. Who can understand it? You're a hot mess. Everyone turn to your neighbor. Are you a hot mess? And then turn back to her and say, guess what? So am I. So we got to go to the Bible about God first, not finding me first, because we got to right the ship. We got to right the course. We got to aim it in the right direction. We got to get our sights set on him first and let everything else come into line as we move forward. Amen? All right. So we go first for God. We look for God, and we trust the process that he's going to help us along the way. This is why the way that I've been teaching a Bible study here for the last several years has never been a topical study on how to have your best life now, or 10 ways to have better friendships, or how to be a super awesome wife in 35,000 easy steps. It'll never be like that. It'll always be a focus on the Word, because as you get into the Word, the Holy Spirit's going to do a work in your heart, and you will be a better friend. You'll be a better wife. You'll be a better mom. You'll be a better human. But you start with your pointing at God first, not going in, what's in it for me? We find ourselves in him, and then, where are we going? Where are we going? So, Acts is a narrative. If you were with us in the Faithful and Fearless study through Esther and in Ruth, they're historical narratives, right? So Acts is not a book of the Bible that's heavy on doctrine, that it just spells it out there for you. You read Ephesians and you just try to wrap your brain around some of the concepts there. You read Hebrews and you just feel like you know nothing. And you're lucky if you can spell the word God, let alone understand it when you read Hebrews. And we made it through a whole year, and that was a fabulous study. Acts is different. So we want to be mindful of that as we're moving into Acts. It's a narrative. It's going to tell the continuing story, right? And it's going to move us from the Gospels, Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, his reappearance to everybody, and then on into when the Holy Spirit comes and the church begins. So that's where we're going, and we're along the way. Remember, our focus is that we're discovering God. We're seeing God, and then we're seeing ourselves along the way. As we do that, I want us to do what women do tend to do quite well. You walk into a room, let's say at a party, or even here tonight, a youth group outside, or in this room, and what are women pretty good about doing? Noticing what's not being said. Because we catch facial expressions, we notice body language. And we walk into a room and we see, let's say, at a party or something, and husband and wife, and you're like, oh, something happened on the way to this party. Like, you can feel it. You know it. Yeah. Or you see a couple of friends chit-chatting, and you're walking over there, and you know something's up. They're planning your surprise party, surely, right? We're good. We're catching those nuances. We see what's not being said. I want us to use that gift that God's naturally given us as women in particular as we're in Acts, because you're going to see groups of people coming together in Acts. You're going to read their story about how they're hanging out, how they are witnessing miracles, how they're getting in trouble, not doing right, how they're having interpersonal relationship issues. So I want us to approach Acts with that great gift that we have as women to go, wow, what would that have been like to be in that room at that moment and not just read the word and check off your list? I did my Bible study today. No, like embrace it, move into it, live in it, think about it. Really let the Holy Spirit bring you into those moments in that first century. As we move through our study, we want to submit our mind and our heart, everything to God. And we want to keep in mind what it says in Romans chapter 12. that we would not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewal of our mind. That by testing we can discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And how many of you have ever just said, I just want to know what God's will is? Can I just know what God's will? I just want to know. And here's what we actually mean, listen, about that. We want a magic eight ball. Mm-hmm. We shake it and say, does God want me to take this job? Yes, no. Shake the ball again, right? That's really what we mean. That's not how it works, though, is it? We don't get that from God. You know why? We have the Holy Spirit. We have wisdom. We have discernment. And we learn to trust that as we go. Why? Because we have allowed for the renewal of our mind. And here's what women love to do. We love to renew our heart. We love to have our emotions touched. We like that part of it. What we need to be doing is get our mind in check, orient it to God's true, perfect, beautiful, holy, always right, never wrong word. Everything is straight. Orient it toward that. And guess what happens as a side effect? You know, body parts don't fall off. Your heart gets fixed. That's the good side effect, or the side benefit, where we can actually know the true will of God. And not like an eight ball, not like magic fairy dust got sprinkled all over you, not like a magic fairy godmother landed down and told you, this is what's gonna happen. Shing! And then you know. No. You have something better and richer and more real. You actually have the Holy Spirit. All right. So how are we gonna get there? How's that gonna happen? Well, again, we're gonna make sure that we don't approach this as a quick fix. And that might be tempting for you. You might wake up, and I hope you do, tomorrow morning, or maybe you're so excited you go home tonight with an enthusiasm. I can't wait to start my Bible study. Right? I want to dive in. And I want to encourage you that if your old pattern was, I want to dive in so I can feel good, if that was your old pattern, that you lay that before the Lord and say, God, let me find you, whether or not it makes me feel good. Because I might read this and yawn. Let's just be honest. I might read it and I might not get it at all. Or I might read it and I don't like it, actually, because that hit a little too close to home, and I'm reading a story about this guy and that gal, and I'm like, ooh, that might have been me. I'm like, ooh, I'm a sinner, right? And then close the book and move on and go to the Psalms or something sweet and nice and emotionally supportive and all that. Or you go to your devotional or something else. But don't do that. You see, God's word is something that needs to be read all in context, right? We need to think about the when this happened, the where, the why, who's involved, what time period was this in, what were they going through? We think about the context, and we don't bring the first century people into 21st century. We go back there, and we think about what they're doing in that time, right? And we read with a mission also. We read with a mission that will grasp what God is trying to say, will really, truly understand it. We want to read with that mindset that we trust God, that he's going to reveal the truth of his word to us. Think about it this way. I don't know if you have a husband who likes gadgets. Maybe you like gadgets. Maybe you're that person. My husband loves gadgets. One in particular, he loves flashlights. Loves them. I could get him a flashlight for every birthday, every anniversary, every Christmas, a different one every time, and he would just tell me the best thing ever. If he got me a flashlight, I'd be like, really? Wow. Couch for you. No. So he, every birthday, everything, he's Mr. Flashlight. He loves them. He loves all the different types. We have big one that illuminate a whole, you know, yard, a 1 million candle watt power, or whatever it's called. And we've got like a snaky, snake twisty one, probably on like a As Seen on TV commercial. We've got a click one that you push up into the roof of your car, your trunk of your car or something. We've got long ones and skinny ones and bendy, twisty pole ones. And we even, as of just a few days ago, have an underwater flashlight because we're going to go snorkeling. In a few days on Catalina, and Glenn's like, we're going to go snorkeling at night. I'm like, God, I'm going to that's going to be awesome. So we got these really cool flashlights. So he walks out with the flashlight that he just got for us, and he wants to show me everything about the flashlight. Now, do y'all know what mansplaining is? You ever heard that term, mansplaining? It's where the men just want to explain in full detail everything that's possible. It's like, honey, it's a flashlight. And it turns on and it turns off. He goes, no, wait, I want to show you all the buttons and things that he does. Now, my husband probably will never listen to this podcast. And if he does, I'm sorry, I love you. I'm really happy about your flashlight. But here's the deal. So this is off, he tells me. He goes, watch. But when you turn it, it'll flash out SOS. Dot, 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 dash or whatever, SOS. Underwater. This is underwater. Right. Everyone's like, blinding, right? All right. And then this is, what is this one? Just steady blinking, like a steady blinking one. And then there's this one here. I guess just on. It just turns on. Then this one. Ooh, it's on more. And then wait. It's really, really on. It's super duper on. And then watch this one. And now here we go. It's off. So he walks me through all of the steps of the flashlight. It was awesome. I'm like, wow, you're that's awesome. All right. So I want you to keep that image in your mind. Listen, ladies. Sometimes when you're reading the word, you're going to have that illumination that God's going to give you. It's like it's super duper on. And other times it's just going to hit that SOS button. And other times you're going to be like, is this thing even on? Did I turn it right? Where's Glenn? How do I make this thing right? She's like, you're not going to get it because here's the deal. God doesn't always give you a floodlight. He might just give you a little pen light. You trust him? You're going to see what you need to see. And that is my witness. If I see a shark or anything like that when I'm scuba snorkeling, whatever I'm doing, I'm just going to not be happy. And no one will know if I peed my pants or not. But it's going to be scary. So anyway, but God's just going to let me see what I need to see. I just keep on reminding that. Right? And that's what it is with the word. I remind myself of that. I get to see what I get to see. I trust God that he's going to illuminate for me. We're going to read with a mission. And here's the three things we're going to read for. We're going to read that we get it. We're going to read that we grasp it and pray that we grasp it, and we're going to finally read that we go with it. All right, so here we go. Get it. This is the comprehension level. I just need to understand the who, what, when, where, why, how, the basics. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody who's in another industry than you, and you're like, I have no idea what we're talking about now. Like, you are shouting out to her, telling me about your job, and I'm like, I don't know what a phalange is, or my husband with the valves and the pumps and all the things, and he asked me literally today as he was describing a job to me, and I think I might have said, like that a couple of times. And he goes, so do you even understand? I'm like, oh, I'm so happy for you, though. I'm so proud of you. All right. Well, so we're going to read for comprehension, and we get the basic information about what we're trying to do. So I'll talk to you a little bit more about how to do that in a minute, but that's the first one, is get it so you comprehend it. If you read a word and you don't get it, what are you going to do? Figure it out. You're going to look it up. Or you're going to call me. I don't get those words, Jennifer. Next, you're going to grasp it. Grasp to the next level deeper because you now can interpret it. You might be able to even retell it to a friend. That's why it's great to have a buddy and discuss it with somebody and text each other and email or phone call or just old-fashioned, like, see each other in real life, right? Do it like that. I don't know if you still do that these days. All right. And then finally, you're going to go with it. So get it, grasp it, go with it. That's the apply step. And that's usually the one we want to do first. How do I apply this to my life? Why? Because you want the hit. I want the fix. Well, we're going to understand it, interpret it, and go with it, apply it next. All right. So the dwelling richly Bible study application part of going with it, of course, is everyone's favorite because why? You want to get up and live your life and apply this to your word. You want it to change you. It's like going to a restaurant or ordering something great off the menu. You want to have an experience that you can Instagram. Like, oh, that was the best whatever ever. And if it was just okay, you're like, I don't even want to put it on Instagram. So it's the same thing happens when we read it out of the word. It's like we want to get it and apply it so it's really fabulous. But we have to remember the most important part is what can I learn about God first? And that might be a yawn moment until you start really digging God and you just love him. That might be like, blah, 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 God. You know, it's like, you're the big guys in heaven. I don't know. Man, when you get it about God, it's usually because you get it about your own sin first. And then you're like, oh, dang, thank you, God, for not striking me dead. Right? You get it. And you love him so much. And you're so grateful. So we learn about God. Then we ask, how does this change my view of myself? As a result of me seeing God, it should reflect back to me. And I go, oh, dang. Wow. I need to write this ship, and thank God I have the Holy Spirit to help me to do that. And then we ask, how do I live? As a result of that new view of me. You know, honestly, ladies, back up to this one. That new view of you might not be harsh. It might be just going, you're okay. I mean, not in the theological sense, like I said earlier. You don't know, we're dirty, rotten scoundrels. We get that part. But you're okay. You're not enough for the world because the world standards keep on flipping and flopping and everybody changes and your husband's needs and your friend's needs and your mom's and your sister's and your brother's and your kids and all. You're not enough for them. So this whole you're enough movement is a worldly movement. That's worldly.
You're not enough for God. That's what it is. So it turns out you're not enough. Thank God. You know why? Because he is. If you were enough, you wouldn't need Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right? So how does this change my view of myself? Ask God. What do I need? Search me, O God. Know my heart. Test me. Know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me. And then what? Lead me in the way everlasting. All right? So how do I live now? That's our final question. All right, God, what do I do? How do I walk out this door tonight from this room after hearing this message, a changed woman, ready to go and make it so? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to aim for this. And I've mentioned these things before. We talked about it before you went off to your groups. Number one, do a Bible study with no notes. I love this Bible because every page starts blank like this around it. Nobody else's commentary. It looks just like this. And then when I'm done with the study, it'll look something along the lines of this. Right? My notes, my thoughts. All right? So start there. Start with a Bible that has nobody else's thoughts or interpretation in it. Get one. If you don't own one, just go buy one. I like this one because it's wide margin. I can write in my Bible. And my goal is to go through the entire Bible and then get a new one. Start it over in blank pages and keep on writing. All right? Cross-references inside your Bible, those are the little tiny letter A, B, C, or 1, or 2, or 3. Bounce around with those. That's just scripture to scripture. That's not nobody's opinion. That's just thoughts. Those are the cross-references. Those are your friends. Your BFF is Webster. Go to the dictionary. Remember the comprehension step. If you don't know a word, don't just pretend like you do. Like, oh, Pentecostal. Never heard of that. What does that even mean? Pentecost. I got to look that up. So you look it up. And don't feel bad. I didn't know everything. What did I do the first time I needed to know? I looked it up. All right. Get a good translation. I mentioned this earlier. We will be using the ESV just for the sake of unity and being able to all literally be on the same page in a sense, like, you know, reading the different scripture together and not having struggles with that. NIV is great. NASB, great. But for this particular study, when you're actually doing study, do a what's called a translation, and those are three: English Standard Version, New International, or NIV, and then the New American Standard Version. If you forget any of that, let me know, and I'll remind you of that later. Next, we're going to avoid commentaries. Commentaries are going to be the study notes in your Bible, if you have one of those awesome study Bibles. All right, so I have an awesome study Bible. This is one of my favorites. It's called the Chronological Study Bible, so it takes every book of the Bible instead of the order that you have normally and puts everything in a flow from Genesis to Revelation. Obviously, Revelation hasn't happened yet, but you know what I mean? Oh my gosh, Revelation's tomorrow? Oh, I'm so not ready. So, this is the Chronological Study Bible. It's one of many that I own. Fabulous notes, maps, commentary, really helpful. I don't do my study from it, though. I refer to it later. When I've done the work, I do the work first. Then I can talk, you know, get somebody else involved. So the study notes in your Bible, you're going to avoid those as well as commentaries. And then just in general principle, avoid Bibles that are not straight out translations. They're just a paraphrase. For example, this one, which again I love, but it's a paraphrase. It's by the New Living Translation, or NLT. Super easy to read. Written at probably a third or fourth grade reading level, whereas ESV is sixth grade. So if y'all are graduating from sixth grade, you're good to go. And if you find yourself struggling, it's okay. Don't be too hard on yourself. You didn't all, you know, do great in English in sixth grade. I get it. I was a school teacher. The Message also, and the Good News Bible paraphrases, super helpful. Don't do your study from them. Use them to supplement later on. All right, we want to think long term. Remember, this is not a quick fix. You're not just heading for the end of the study. You're heading for your life. You're finishing that race well. Good and faithful servant, right? Be mindful of this and be encouraged. Jesus himself as a teacher left his own disciples in an I don't know territory often. When he would teach a parable and they would all just have a head-scratching quizzical look on their face like, I don't understand what you just said, Lord. That's okay. It's okay to not know. It's okay to not know. If you finish a day of your study and you just answered the best that you could and you're nervous about coming here and coming back to the study, because you didn't have the right answer, it's okay. Just be okay with that. Relax. And if you open your mouth and share,
No one, I promise you, is going to go, wow, cult leader? Like, what are you doing over there? Starting your own little religion. You know, I might say that to you because I'm silly and I'll joke with you. But nobody else in your group will have the nerve to talk to you like that. And if they do, you can let me know and I'll have a talk with them. So, you know, be nice. And be okay to not know and just come back and share. Very important. Pray. Just pray. God, help me understand. I don't get all of this. It's over my head. Pray. Read. Just read it again. Read it again. Don't understand it the first time. You know why? Because you were thinking about your grocery list. And then you're like, oh, I don't even remember what I just read. I'm crying out loud. Oh. Okay, try it again. Read it again. I'm kidding you. I do the exact... Read it again. Second time. And I, the exact same spot in my mind is already over here. And I'm wondering, okay, third time's a charm. I can totally do this. Do it again until you get it. Read, 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 read. Then meditate. In fact, everybody right now, take a deep breath. You have a lot on your mind. Breathe. And breathe out. Try that at home. Meditate. Don't rush through. Enjoy the process. Just meditate on God's word. In the same theme of meditating as dwelling. Park it there. Park it right there. Let it come inside of you. And let you almost kind of like coming inside it itself. And then finally trust the process and the Holy Spirit in terms of long term and not a quick fix. Trust the process. There is a process involved. We're all going to work our way through it. All right. I got two slides of the exact same thing. Here we go. All right. The Dwelling Richly Bible Study. This one is called Acts, Seeds of the Gospel. It's 13 lessons long. And the dates for every lesson are on page 3. Put them in your calendar. There's one lesson every 2 weeks. All right? Every lesson will have 10 days in it. All right? Each lesson will allow you time to read through the Word. You're going to write the Word. By the end of this study, we normally write the entire book. Because Acts is quite long, I've selected sermons from the book. By the end of this study, you will have written most, if not every sermon that's preached in the book of Acts. It's different. You won't be sitting there writing, he said, and then this, and then she said. It'll be the sermons of the book, so it'll be rich teaching from the book. You're going to be writing that. Memorizing the Word. Every 2 weeks, I'm going to give you a verse or two to memorize. You'll have 2 weeks to do it. Give yourself a gold star. Make it a little chart like you did when you were in Sunday school. All right. Think. Don't discount that because sometimes we just jump in. And you're going to be thinking as you go through this study. You're going to be creating as you go through this study. The last day of every lesson, day 10, is called Create and Share. And all my little left brain people just collectively went, really? I gotta be creative. Bleh. I know who you are. Julie. Be creative. Step outside your comfort zone and create. And we'll draw, we'll write a poem, you write a letter. I'll do something fun for you on the 10th day of each lesson to culminate the entire lesson together. And then finally, share. Take what you're learning and share it with somebody else. Bless somebody else. In your small group, with your husband, with a friend, with your mom, with a coworker, whomever. Share it with somebody. Study on your own time. Get a colored pencil like this one. I think it might be a bit sealed tight. Maybe you could open that for me. Get a colored pencil. Mine is this Pentel that has 8 colors inside of it. And I just twist it around. Awesome. Good job. It'll be, isn't that fun? So you can come up here and check these out. Just get it on Amazon. And it has all the different colors. I've written you a color code in your study, on page something in there. Use that to help you as you go through your study together. Study together, study with a buddy. Find a buddy tonight, connect with somebody. If you have a friend who would like to be in this Bible study and literally can't be here, maybe she lives, like I have a friend in Tennessee and can't come, but she wants to follow us online. She's going to do it online. So the studies get published. You can do it with someone long distance because I do every study online live. So you can just listen in and join me that way. So do that at 9 a.m. I'll be live tomorrow, and those will be up, and you can actually do your study with me throughout each week. The studies are all posted for you on Facebook. If you don't have Facebook, we're on YouTube. Everyone can log in on a computer or even on your phone and get YouTube. And then I also have a podcast called the Dwelling Richly Podcast where you can get that on your phone and you can also get it on your computer. And I can show you how to do that if you need help with that. You'll have small group time when we come back together to connect, and we'll share. We'll share what we're learning. But just remember, come and share. Or come and be quiet. Just listen. But just come. All right. So seeds of the gospel. I want us to consider the dandelion. I'm going to close with this video. Let's see if I can get my computer to switch screens and do that. Yay, good. Over. Can you see the screen? Mm-hmm. All right. It's just some instrumental music, and it's a little over a minute long, but I want you to see this really cool video of... not that. but this. So when I watch that... when I watch that video, I think about Christ. I think about, is that what you were going to say? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think about Christ and the beauty and the flower and the blossoming and the disciples and the ministering and gathering his disciples and then dying. And it looked like that flower just was dying and shriveling it up. And then that beautiful moment when it all blossomed out. And just like it is in our Bible study, the concept here of the little dandelion seeds, right? Going everywhere. That's the concept of this study, and that's what Acts is all about, is the power of the gospel in the seed that it plants in each of us as it is spreading across literally the world from the first century until now, actually really since the beginning of time until now. All right. So we're going to wrap up in prayer right now, and as we bow our heads for prayer, I'll pray out loud, but I'd like you to be praying in your own heart as well. Think about the ladies that you've met in your group. Think about where you are right now in your walk and where you'd like to be in April. Think about the things that traditionally have held you back from completing a Bible study. Think about the things that help you be most successful, and just lay it all before the Lord. Give it all to him. Trust him in this process, and let's ask for his hand of blessing on our Bible study as we move forward. Feel free to join hands or just sit with your hands in your lap, and let's pray. Father God, we do thank you once again for the truth of your word and how it illuminates our heart. That your word is a light unto our path, and we would be lost in darkness without it. Help us to value that word. Lord, help us to see and notice and submit to you any of the barriers in our life that keep us from being in your word, that keep us from really having that fellowship with you and with one another as well, and how it impacts every other relationship when we're really not walking in step with you. Help us to walk in step with you. I pray, God, your blessing on these women and everyone hearing my voice tonight, Lord, that you would bless our efforts beyond what we could ever have asked or imagined to your glory. And in the name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone said, Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.